Are you ready to revolutionize your credit repair business? Welcome to Credit Repair Junkies, the ultimate podcast for credit repair entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Bruce Palatano, seven-figure serial entrepreneur and author. Each week, we'll dive deep into battle-tested strategies, uncover the latest industry breakthroughs, and reveal insider tips that will put your business light years ahead of the competition. If you're ready to grow your credit repair business, head to creditrepairjunkies.com/go to watch my free training.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Credit Repair Junkies podcast. Today, I'm joined by my good friend, Dave Bergio from Trifecta Credit Solutions, and we're going to have an awesome conversation that I hope is going to provide a tremendous amount of value to all our viewers and our listeners. Dave, thank you so much for joining me, brother.
Bruce, thank you for having me, man. I greatly appreciate it. It's an honor.
Awesome, man. So let's jump right in. I know that, you know, this is all about credit repair. So how long have you been doing credit repair? How long have you been in the credit repair space?
Whew, that's a loaded question because there's some peaks and valleys within that. But, you know, my credit journey kind of started with some curiosity back in 2016, started kind of implementing it as a side hustle in 2018. And then this crazy idea during the height of the pandemic in 2020 to kind of create a brand behind it. And, you know, as a passion project and kind of see where it goes to where we are today and pretty much pushing a full-fledged credit repair business. Definitely was not on my radar, I can tell you that.
No. What were you doing before credit repair?
Interestingly enough, I have a background in the restaurant industry. As a kid, I came up in a Mr. Donuts / Dunkin' Donuts franchise in my family. So, you know, the old moniker, time to make the donuts, that stuck with me for a very long time. But, you know, I was involved in that whole journey up until I was 22 years old. I've been in food primarily my whole life in the food and service restaurant industry. I've owned my own restaurants. I worked at the same time, you know, with my family in another restaurant. So I had two jobs at once for, you know, the better half of 4 or 5 years. And I worked for that pizza shop for almost 18 years. Yeah. So credit definitely not on the radar compared to food, but you know, it's just one of those things where the food industry, it's a lot different today than it was then. And credit kind of started at the same time, or that interest in it during that food journey, that restaurant journey.
That's weird, dude. So, you know, credit and restaurants, like, couldn't be more polar opposites.
You're absolutely correct.
So draw the line, make the connection for me. How did you go from, you know, making donuts and pizzas and owning your own restaurants to credit repair?
Yeah, credit has always kind of been a fascinating thing to me, and it goes way back. When I was in school, believe it or not, in the early 90s, I had one teacher say something to me that stuck with me my entire life, because in business, in the donut business, at least in my father's company, you know, back then it was all cash. Credit cards weren't a thing. Even if they did take credit cards, it would probably be the old school way where you take the card, you put it on the carbon paper. Yep. Yeah. So I'm aging myself there a little bit. Right. But no, he said one thing, that teacher said one thing that always stuck with me, that he said, look, if you get a credit card, you buy stuff, you pay it off in full. You don't treat it how they want you to treat it with interest. And that stuck with me for a long time. So I always had this fascination behind it. So by the time I was 18, Discover Card sent me an offer as a happy birthday offer for a $500 credit card. And I took it. And every weekend at that time, when I was a senior in high school, I used to go out every weekend out to dinner with my girlfriend at the time. I would pay at the restaurant with the credit card, wait till the statement came in the mail and paid it off in full and started building my credit. You know, and this is before even online billing. This was before you even had the access to even know what your credit score was. So, you know, we're talking 1999, and, you know, more credit offers started coming in the mail. Fast forward to 2001, I bought my mother her first house, right, at 20 years old. Yeah, which is interesting. And then about a year later, I bought my first, like, passion car and took out a car note. So I already had three pieces of credit before I was 21. And so, like, I understood how the positive side worked on it. And then came some life-changing moments that happened. And then right before the real estate crash, I was working still in food, but kind of had my hand in some financial services at the time and kind of got left go, had some things happen with licensing. So I was out of a job. I was transitioning at the time before I opened my own workplace into financial services. So now I had a problem. I needed to kind of live off of credit. So all the stuff you're supposed to teach, you know, life happens. And then kind of just went up by the wayside, created a mass amount of debt, figured out a way to how to still pay for my car and my house at the time, trash my credit, and it started to dig myself out of the hole. And looking back, what I know today, back then, did it completely wrong, probably spent so much money that I didn't even realistically or legally have to spend. And that was at that time in 2016 when all the online stuff started coming and researching this. It's like, well, I did that all wrong.
Right.
And then, you know, you fast forward 2017, 2018 as a side hustle, we took a course locally from somebody here. Ironically enough, I took that course with Dylan Shively.
Okay.
The same cool. course, you know, yeah. Renan was actually in that course. So that's how Dylan, Renan, and myself know each other. And, yeah. You know, we were one of the guys originally coming up from that course, teaching you completely different wrong things, how to kind of get by. It would work to a sense. But that created that curiosity of, this could potentially be a big thing here. And then, you know, fast forward to where we are today, still is a passion project, but see the value. I didn't really see the value because we always treated this kind of as like a little hobby until we started becoming the mayor of our own town here. And it's like, hey, there's a serious need here. We should really be a force for good, take this serious, make this the main thing now, and just deliver what the people want, what they need, you know. So it's amazing how that turned around.
It's funny you say the mayor of your own town. Like, that's something that we teach, right? Mayor of your town. And I can't take credit for that. That comes from a good buddy of mine, Jose Rodriguez, up in New Jersey. Got credit, right? The credit dude. He mentioned that in one of the events that we were at, and it stuck with me, and it helped me build my business tremendously with just that, being the mayor of your town. Definitely a great thing when you think about the community that surrounds you and your business. You know, from your story, you talk about, you know, you did all the right things until you couldn't. You know, and I think that that's the story with a lot of people who struggle with bad credit, is it's either because they are not educated enough on how it works, or life happens. You know, never say never, right? But very rarely is somebody going to have bad credit simply because they want to have bad credit. Oh, I'm going to go take out all these credit cards and I'm going to charge them all up. And then I'm going to say, I'm not paying none of y'all. Screw it, right? Nobody really does. I mean, again, never say never, not going to say nobody. I'm sure there's a few, you know, people out there who want to game the system or play the system that way. But for the vast majority of times, that's not everybody's reality, right? You just, life happens, or you just don't know what you don't know. And now you find yourself with bad credit and you can't buy that house. You can't buy that dream car. You can't do the things that you go rent the apartment. It's like, can't give you the apartment. So it's an interesting industry that we're in, because the type of clientele that we deal with, I think the number one thing that as credit repair business owners, we can do for a client better than fixing their credit is really educating them on what credit is, how it works, how to properly manage it, how to leverage it. You know, like a lot of credit repair companies, they stop at the fixing the credit part, right? Like, do you know when was the last time I bought a plane ticket? I don't even know, because I fly first class with my family on points as many times as I possibly want to, because I leverage good credit. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people, they just want to fix their client's credit, but then they don't want to tell them, hey, here's how you can leverage your credit, right? And traveling is just one perk. There's so many others. How can you take your credit and invest it to make it work for you and make you more money? And a lot of credit repair companies, they stop at, oh, I'll take the collection off, or I'll try, or yeah, the repossession, we'll work on that. That's great and dandy. But the best thing that we can do for our customers is really educate them. Look, we're going to help you fix your credit, but once your credit is fixed, here's what not to do so you don't find yourself working with me again, right? Here's what you do now with your good credit and how you can leverage it to put yourself in a better situation. And I know that in an area that you're in, it's a pretty relatively small town, right?
No, not really. It's actually, so, you know, I live in Eastern Pennsylvania. Our office is in Allentown, Pennsylvania. It's actually the third largest metropolitan area in Pennsylvania behind Philly and Pittsburgh.
How close is TransUnion to you? Because I know TransUnion is out there, right?
TransUnion is in Westchester, so it's probably about an hour from here. Okay. You know, it's not that far at all.
I'm gonna send you over there one of these days to look at some of these few letters. Right.
Yeah, they'll probably throw me out right away. They'll smell me coming a mile away. But no, it's one of the fastest growing areas in the country. You know, and going back to what you said about educating, I mean, that's kind of where we really started to say, hey, we can really make an impact here. You know, there's nobody really doing what we're doing. And selfishly with us, like with other businesses we had at the time, and this was kind of, even with this brand, it was kind of taking a backseat. We were leveraging credit and other things. Amex is a beautiful thing. You're talking about first class. Well, you know, we are involved in other businesses that, you know, selling products, selling goods and services, and that side, leveraging credit to obtain, you know, wholesale goods and kind of, you know, flipping that hamster wheel all the time. But it wasn't sustainable. And, you know, so it's, you know, you kind of get shiny object syndrome a little bit, but it always kept taking it back here. People always knew me from even as, this, you know, back in the side hustle days. And it still was growing organically at the time before we came here now. So it's when you start interacting with these people and doing seminars, like you said, the educating side, well, that turns into other things. It's not just personal credit or credit repair. It's also talking about how to leverage credit, the points, right? The cash back and so forth. And then it starts becoming bigger than that. Then it starts to become on the business side. Okay, well, how do you manage personal? How do I leverage business credit, right? How do I do these things for my company? And you're like, whoa, how do I get funding? So it started to open up these bigger doors. Hey, how do I get you to speak at my event? Hey, how can I? And it's kind of mind blowing, you know, to sit here and actually think about it. And in our area, you know, between the three cities here, there's and the outside area, there's almost a million people here, believe it or not. You know, so it's kind of like the forgotten area, you know. So, and it's grown fast with its proximity to New York and Philly. And it's there is a very serious need here, just with the Spanish demographic that's here. You know, Allentown is 56% almost, so they're the majority. You know, so it's a very unique area, and we have a very unique opportunity here to lead that forefront. So that's kind of where we are today with it.
Yeah. So why credit repair? You know, there's a lot of other things they could have done. Why did you land on credit repair?
I think the more I dove into it, and with my own story being on both sides, and it's just one of those journeys to where, you know, maybe this might sound hokey to people, maybe not, doesn't matter. I don't care. I think it's overall what I was led and called to do, right? Hey, educate here. Hey, be passionate here. Hey, help this person be a first-time home buyer. Help this person obtain solar. Help this person refinance or get a brand new car that they never had, that they're spending the same amount on some crazy interest rate for a jalopy, right? You know, I truly believe it was a call. You know, so it's one of those things where the more you dove deep, the more I learn and continue to learn. It's there's nobody here. So if not me, then who else?
I like that. That's good, man. So you're driven by a passion behind it that goes beyond money, right?
Yeah.
And I think that all the episodes that we record here, and I talk to a lot of these credit repair business owners, the one thing that every successful credit repair business owner has in common is that the money is secondary to the client. You know, if you really prioritize helping the customer, the money is just a byproduct of that. You know, if you focus on the money and you leave the customer, you know, on the back burner of that, you're going to have a very tough time building a sustainable business. I'll say you're not going to make money. You'll probably make money, but it's not going to be sustainable. It's not going to have longevity to it, right? When you put the client first and their needs first and you worry about the money, that's going to come regardless because you're doing a good service for the customer. People tell me all the time, well, how do you grow a credit repair company? The name of the game in the credit repair business to grow a large company isn't enrolling more customers. I mean, it is. That's part of it. But the major thing is not bringing on new customers. It's keeping the one that you have, right? So if you're enrolling 100 customers a month, but you have 150 customers canceling every month, you're going backwards, right? So you got to keep and maintain the customers that you have while adding new ones. And the way that you keep your credit repair customers is by providing good customer service. And it's impossible to provide good customer service if you're not putting the customer first. If you're putting their money first, you're not going to provide the best customer service, right? So there's a key. You know, you want to grow your credit repair business, provide great customer service. The money is just going to be a byproduct of that. So when you guys launched Trifecta, when did it go from like a side hustle to, okay, I'm going to do this thing the right way? And what was that journey like? How did you transition into side hustle to full-time? And even how did you learn to actually grow the business as a breathing thing?
Yeah, I mean that's an interesting question because we always looked at it with the three of us, you know, three partners. We all have different backgrounds. We have different things we're involved in. I'm the face of the brand, obviously, because credit is my passion. That's the strength suit with everything. You know, Brad sales and leadership, Renan, you know, he's another one in training sales teams and so forth, and has that passion with it too. But, you know, we always came through, and it was even as the side, like when we were learning, it's okay if we can help a few, because we also have network marketing experience. So, you know, it's, hey, like, you know, get here, you buy, sell, maybe help a couple people on a team member duplicate that same thing. So it's kind of always like, if it's on the side, we have the main thing here. And then I honestly didn't really know how to kind of transition into a full-fledged business, because it really wasn't on my radar. I'm used to the food industry, the brick and mortar kind of restaurateur stuff with that. You kind of can't serve food through the internet, you know? I can't give you a cup of coffee through the Wi-Fi, you know? So, right. And you're only limited to like about a 5-mile radius. So you're taking that style of mentality, and you have to unwire all that in your brain to kind of convert all that to here, you know? So, because they are completely different. I like this better because you do have the accessibility to help more people. Right. You know, food just didn't fulfill on that. But I think that time where it really said, hey, to change this into a full fledged business, we got out fast. We treated it kind of like a network marketing business. And then when you don't have systems in place, when you don't have structure or SOP or the right tools, you can fly really quick in one direction, but you can fly really quick in another direction. And I think we learned that, you know, pretty quickly. I mean, the conversations you and I have had, you know, probably made in every mistake and then some in the book, kind of getting this thing dialed into where it is today. I think that the crossroads came to where we tried a bunch of things. You know, you're a great example. Dylan's a phenomenal example. We still keep in touch with Dylan to this day, even though he's not in PA anymore, that hey, if they're helping this on the other parts of the country, right? Nobody's really doing it here. Like, let's see, like, let's take this thing a little more serious. And can we do it? I think it was also maybe a lack of certainty almost at one point, because you are used to doing it as a side hustle, right? Mm-hmm. It's okay. Well, what are the pieces to really build this? And yeah. When you start dialing them in, you're like, oh man, this thing really is possible. Well, I actually like that better than food, right? Food's a completely different lifestyle. You know, you're home late at night. You know, like that's almost 24 hours in and of itself. So, you know, probably within the last year and a half or so to really dive in 100%, like full throttle, not just, hey, I'm focused here on this, but I have this thing going on over here, you know. So really starting, if you treat this like a business, it will treat you like a business is supposed to on the back end.
What has been the easiest part of starting your credit repair company?
It's kind of easy to say for me because we, you know, been down that road. I mean, just simple filing an LLC and an EIN number really only takes 15 minutes, you know, and everything else. I mean, you know, because again, the average person might not think that's easy. Where do I start? What do I do? How to make this legal? You know, the easiest part is it's just kind of putting yourself out there. I think that kind of happened on accident, you know, so.
Starting a credit repair business is such a low barrier to entry business that it's like you said, you start an LLC, you get an EIN number, you get a business bank account, voila, you're in business, right? But starting a credit repair company and running a legal credit repair company are two completely different things, right? Any clown can start a credit repair company. Anybody can go and file papers with the Secretary of State and get an EIN number on the IRS website for free. Anybody can do that. The problem is, how do you run a legitimate credit repair company where you have the bonds, the licensing, all the requirements that federally and are state regulated? That's the part where a lot of people get caught up and they don't know, because again, it's one of those things. You don't know what you don't know, right? You don't know you may need a bond. You don't know you need that license. You don't know you need this clause in your contract. And unless somebody tells you, you're just not going to know. And the problem is people will start their companies, right, in a way where they thought that's all they needed. They'll grow it to this huge, massive operations, and they're not compliant. And now they got to go back and, you know, cover their steps that they missed while trying to run this large operation instead of just trying to do everything right from the beginning, right? And that's one of our major goals at Credit Repair Junkies, is to help educate people who are just starting their credit repair company to do all the right things when you're getting started, because it's so much harder to go back and redo those things after you're already running a large operation, you know? So the easiest thing, I think I would agree with you, is starting a company. What would you say is the hardest thing, like from the day that you started your company until where we're standing at today, what has been like the hardest part of growing your credit repair company or running your business?
Yeah, the hardest part is it's really, what do you do after you get to 100 clients? You know, I think it's harder to continuously scale, because for us, I didn't know at the time to really how to do it from this standpoint. So the hardest part would be, hey, the system's in place. How do you systemize everything? How do you get everything to flow? You know, when I first heard automations, I was like, oh, okay, well, that's interesting. You know, our credit repair software at the time kind of doesn't work like that. So how do you do that? You know, and now the hardest part, I think, is with all of that, it's not really like getting past it. It's kind of buying back some of that time. Like, how do you first mentally, because it's a hard thing to let go, right? So how do you start divvying this out without losing your hair? And then what are those next steps to acquire those things and those systems? Because they do take an investment. That's not the biggest thing, but they also take time. They take time to learn. They take time to implement, you know, so it's a juggling act that, yeah, you may or may not drop the ball on some things, but you know, it's the hardest part of getting over that hump to not only mentally, but to also physically get to that next level. That's kind of been the hardest thing for us. But once you're over that and you can see that ahead, it's so much easier to start moving forward after that to get to, okay, well, if we can get to 100, you can go to 200, you can go to 500, then the thousands on the horizon. And I'm always a big believer, if somebody else has done it, then you can do it too.
100%. What is the importance of having the right systems in your business? Like, what does that do for you guys?
It's everything. You know, number one, it's duplicatable, right? So if one person can do it, then everybody can do it. It's duplicatable, it's trainable, it's trackable. You know, so if there's we just realized we had a huge mistake recently, you know, because the numbers don't lie either. So if you have numbers tracking in your systems, right, from everything, then you can see if numbers aren't adding up, then there's something that's not being done right. And that's also on us. So there's another accountability point, but you find that mistake, you correct it. Hey, this is the system, follow the system. It works, it's proven, and let's get back to business. Systems are everything, man.
It's very difficult. And I know there's a lot of people out there that run a credit repair company off of an Excel spreadsheet. You know, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. If that's your cup of tea, go for it. But duplicatable, scalable, teachable, I don't know, right? Like, if you're going to run, think of large corporations, right? I'm sure that Zoom, they have a CRM and a system and automations and all this thing, right? I'm sure that, you know, Bank of America and Chase and AT&T, all these large businesses, they got to keep everything centralized in one single place. One of the mistakes that I see a lot of credit repair companies making is that they don't have one centralized place to run their business from. They run their business with multiple separate systems. And although that's better than like an Excel spreadsheet, it's not very scalable, right? Like, man, I book appointments through Calendly. I do credit repair through this software. I have email campaigns with ActiveCampaign. And then I use my phone system with RingCentral. And then I use Zapier to duct tape and glue them all together, cross my fingers and hope that they all work together seamlessly, which they always don't, right? So having everything in one centralized place, right? Your website, your email campaign, your SMS campaigns, your CRM, your automations, everything in one single place, your calendars, your phone, your lead funnels, everything in one single place. Now your business becomes scalable, right? Because you don't have to worry about all these different separate systems. It's one single system. Has that been game changer for you guys?
Yeah, because the reason being is when we started this, a lot of our, you know, we had a lot of our network marketing friends that we would call killers in the industry that started with us. Obviously, most, if not all of them aren't with us today, but, you know, they ran that same thing, like fly fast, like throw dirt on the wall and hope it sticks. And yeah, it did, but there's a lot that didn't. And I look at, hey, like, this was great to where we got, but then I'm thinking, how much more would we have had? You know, it's okay, you have a disputing software and you're like trying to communicate back and forth. You're writing down notes in 30 different notebooks. Hey, can you call this person? They send me an email, but they're meant to talk to you. It was just, it's the definition of organized chaos, or actually more or less disorganized chaos. you know, because we thought it was organized, but it really wasn't. And, you know, having all those tools in place, CRM, phone, automated emails, texting, even some stuff with AI now, you know, those things are a big deal. And it's as hard as it was to convert that. You got to remember, as I aged myself earlier, coming from a cash business. So you're taking 90s and 2000s business mentality that would get absolutely slaughtered in today's business world. You know, so that's the biggest, like for me, that hurdle to come over. It's like, we can't work like that anymore because every other business is working. You're going to get hammered by the competition. Like that's the way it is.
You know, the systems, having the right systems, and when you have everything in one place, it help you know your numbers, right? Yeah. And, you know, there's a terminology in business called KPIs, your key performance indicators. This number, the KPIs, tells you not where you are, but where you're headed, right? It's your key performance indicators, meaning if I know I got 30 leads this week, then I can estimate how many sales I'm going to get next week. But if I don't know how many leads I got this week, I have no idea how many sales I'm going to get next week. Right. And if I got 20 sales this week, then I know how much money I could expect to get next month. And if you don't have a system that keeps your numbers, right, if it's that organized, disorganized chaos. Oh, I know I got 20 sales. OK, great. But how does that translate into a KPI into your business? And how do you even know about it? Are you aware of it? Right. So having the right systems in place not only helps you organize everything, but it also helps you kind of know where your business is headed, right? And then you have lagging indicators and you have leading indicators, right? Leading indicators are those things like those KPIs. Lagging indicators are things like, man, this is happening now. We didn't catch on to it quick enough. How do we fix it? If you're not aware of these things on a daily basis in your business, you're going to have a really tough time growing a business that's sustainable because in all of a sudden, you just poof, the rug gets pulled from underneath you and you didn't even see it coming, right? Why? Because you didn't have the awareness of those numbers in your business that are so important. What would you say is something that you know now that you wish you knew when you first got started?
I think the stigma in the credit repair space, I think Dylan even talked about this a little bit when he was on. You know, there's more friends in this industry than enemies than you think. Well, one of the things I learned now that I should have learned, and I didn't even implement it when I was still in the food industry, was, you know, bury the ego and ask for help when you need it. You know, get around people in this industry. You always say that the best investment you'll make is in yourself. Yeah, that's true. But I believe in any industry, find that mentor that's in your industry, right? Lean on them, invest into them, you know, because they were in that same position at one time. Get around people to where you want to be, you know, and do it sooner than later. Too many people wait. We wait. You know, I imagine if we would have done this, you know, from day one, and it's something I've loosened up tremendously over the last, you know, year or so. We need something, invest into it. You know, I have local ties that I use and I have not local ties that I use. You know, you're a great resource. You know, Dylan was a great resource. I have local guys here that I use on business stuff. You know, get around people to where you want to go and don't wait. Do that soon. You know, if you can't afford it, figure out a way. You know, that personalized touch is everything, man.
Yeah. I think that one thing that is a saying that I hear often and I truly believe in, if I'm the smartest guy in a room, I'm in the wrong room. It's that simple, right? Like if I want to elevate myself, my knowledge, my business, I can't be the biggest and the baddest in my friend group. I have to be like the least one, right? Because I need to strive towards where I want to go. And if I don't have people who are already there, it's going to be very difficult for me to pave my own path. It's a lot easier to walk the path that somebody has already paved than for me to kind of, you know, build this path myself and then take one step at a time and then break it down and then rebuild it. And I think that's a great thing that you said, Dave. I agree with that 100%. Surround yourself with people who are further than you are and don't be afraid of asking for help. I ask for help all the time. There are people that are way further ahead than I am. My mentors, my business coaches, they're way further ahead than I am, right? And I make it a point to meet with them as often as I can, to ask the right questions and to listen, to humble myself and really listen to what they are saying, because they're speaking from a place of experience that I don't have, right? Every thought that I have in my head, those are hypotheticals, right? Those are theories. They may work in theory, but if I put those thoughts into practice, they might not work as they did in my head. you know? So I love that. I love the humility that you guys have in being able to recognize that, number one, and number two, take action on that thought, right?
You got to take action on top of it. And I look back like throughout my whole life, like I always compare it to sports and fitness. You know, even at my age now, I still work out all the time. You know, I played football for 15 years. And I always look back, like even when I worked for my family or had my own place, when was I doing the best in those things that made me the best? It was whenever you got coaching, right? Okay, well, coach decides to play, sees what you're running wrong. If you're not running this protection or this pass route, right? Or this play over and over again to get it right. Hey, here's the play, go execute. Hey, here's the play in business, right? Here's the play in the system, go execute. For me personally, I've always performed better at kind of those X's and O's and then just run the play, run it over and over again. And, you know, getting involved with you, with coaching with you or with the mastermind or boot camp and everything else that you've been gracious to us, by the way, thank you so much. You know, and everybody else, it's changed everything like over the last 6 months, you know, tremendously. It's like, oh, wow. Okay. This is possible. Just run the play, man. Like hit from the play. That's it.
It's easy, right? Somebody knows what to do and they tell you what to do. You just got to execute, right?
Yeah.
Then it comes down to execution. You know, I talk about, I say this all the freaking time. Knowledge is not power. Applied knowledge is power. If all you're doing is learning from YouTube and learning from this podcast and learning from other videos and learning from all these courses that you're taking, but you're not applying any of it, you're running in place. You're like running on a treadmill. You're like a hamster in a hamster wheel. You have to apply what you're learning. Don't just consume the information. Act on that information. I think that you guys have been a great example of what it's like to act on the information that you're consuming. And it speaks to the success that you guys are having today.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Yeah. Good old success zombie paralysis by analysis. You know, and a lot of people make that mistake. It's like, you know, don't be afraid to dive in. You know, you're eventually going to have to apply all that stuff. Like, what use is any of that stuff you're reading or watching if you're not going to do it? And I think people are afraid to fail, you know, and for what? You're putting an investment into yourself and into your business. And that's one thing that, you know, talk about. I'm not afraid to, you know, hey, if we need it, let's do it. Oh, it's not in the budget. Well, we'll figure out how to get it in the budget. If it's something we need now, if this investment's going to pay off, or if this is something we need to execute now, like do it now. You can't wait. We'll figure out the rest. If it makes sense, we'll figure out the rest. If it doesn't make sense, then scratch it. Then it's a bad idea.
I like what you said earlier. You got to treat your business like a business. If you treat your business like a side hustle, that's all it's ever going to be. If you treat it like a business, then that's what it's going to be. And I think a lot of people are stuck there. They're stuck in that, well, I'm still got a full-time job. This is my side gig. For as long as you treat it that way, that's all it's ever going to be, right? You got to work that 80 hours. You work 40 hours in your 9-to-5, but then you put in another 40 into your business. And before you know it, it's all you're going to be doing is working on for yourself in your own business. But if you just treat it as a side hustle, man, you're going to struggle.
Yeah. And I also think, you know, and this is why when you seek the good people out, there are some very bad disclaimers out there too of, hey, you know, come here and make $1 million. Yeah, that's possible. But, you know, let's paint this picture now. You're never going to make $1 million by yourself. Okay. So like, I think it's, there's some wordplay into that a little bit, but you have to understand, like a lot of people are also looking for a quick, easy way out and there's no such thing. You know, it takes work. It's going to take dedication. It's going to take bad times, you know, learning experience. And that's real life. If it's not, hey, you're going to come in and you're going to be successful in the next 6 months to a year. You know, it's, you know, you got to rub some elbow grease on that. And like you said, if you're going to treat it like a business, dedicate that time. If you're still working, put in those reps. You know, when you put in those reps, they're going to compound. We have the saying every day or every meeting that we have internally with our team. Hey, get 1% better today. Every day, get 1% better. That's it. We're not here to hit the home run. Just get a little better every day. It's going to take work.
That's good. Anything that's worth something is going to take sacrifice. It's going to take time. You know,
100%.
Nothing in your lap, unless you hit the lotto. Right. But even that didn't fall in your lap. You had to get in your car or in your bicycle and ride it over to the gas station, buy the ticket and put in those numbers. Like everything requires work. And this business is no different. Dave, final question for you, man. What advice would you have for someone who is thinking about starting their own credit repair company or just took the leap of faith into starting their credit repair company?
You better be passionate about it, because if you're not passionate about it, you have no business being in it. You're probably going to fizzle out, and that's the reality. So if you are passionate about it, you know, dive in, sleep, eat, sleep, and breathe it, and do the right things. And as I stated earlier, start putting yourself out there and get around people already in the industry. You'll have more friends than enemies. I promise you that. You know, people will want to help. I'll help you. You know, Bruce will help you. You know, ask for help. I'm telling you, that's the biggest accelerator, is just to get around people in the industry and then learn from them. Continuously be a student of the game too. You know, it's not just come in, you know, hey, this is how it's going to work for the next 10, 20, 30 years. No, things are going to change. Things are going to evolve. You're either growing or you're dying. There is no in between.
That's awesome, man. I like that. I think that you speak from that place of experience. You know, you went all in, and it's been awesome to watch your journey. You know, you guys, the trifecta, the three of y'all coming together and building this business. It's hard enough doing it as a one-man shop, right? Now with three of y'all plus staff, like, the business needs to be that much bigger because there's a lot more people that need to eat. You know, so, but you also have the effort of all three of you guys, which compounds over time. So proud of you guys, man. I know that you guys are only getting started, and this is just the beginning of all the success that you still have ahead. Thank you, Dave, for joining me. I really appreciate you taking the time today.
No, thank you, Bruce. I really appreciate it. Thank you all for tuning in. And Bruce, we can't thank you enough, man. You've been a blessing to us and our business as well.
Thank you. And if you're listening or you're watching and you're thinking about starting your credit repair company, or you just got started, we have an awesome training program that we can offer you, where actually Dave actually has gone through, and so have many other people, where in 100 days, I'll show you how to generate $10,000 a month in your credit repair business guaranteed, or 100 clients in 100 days. That's where we get that $10,000 a month mark. I'll show you how to get 100 clients in 100 days in your credit repair business guaranteed. In the training that we have, I have some free information for you about that. If you want to check it out, just go to creditrepairjunkies.com/go, and you can get all the information there. And I'll see you guys on the next episode. Take care.